y'all to the Lawyer Johnson Comedy Sports Radio Show. I have a special guest tonight, Mr. Brandon B. House.
Oh, hey, what's going on, man? They don't know we've been kicking it for like the past 5 hours.
5 hours, man. We live.
So, man, okay, I'm good. Let's go.
He's wired up. Yeah, I'm just gonna let you know right now. If you don't know B. House, you gonna know who he is tonight. He's definitely wired up.
Strike first. Strike hard.
Tell them what you do, you know. Give people a little history about Brandon B. House. Where you from? Your education. The move that you're making out here on Comedy Phoenix scene. On the Phoenix comedy scene. I don't know what I'm talking about. He got me talking like him on the Phoenix comedy scene, man. Let people know a little bit more about you, B. House.
Oh, all right. Well. Number one, my name is Brandon B. House. I was born to a poor white family in Mississippi. Like the jerk. Steve Martin. I was born to a poor white family. A poor black family. Yeah, you know, because he was white. Okay. Anyway, I'm being ignorant. Okay. Anyways, I'm originally from Chicago. I'm out here promote my own comedy shows, performing, hosting, do my own flyers, my own videos. Man, grinding like everybody else out here in Phoenix right now. So, thank you for having me on your show.
No doubt. It's a pleasure. It's definitely a pleasure to have you on the show. A lot of people don't even know that me and Brandon B. House go way back. Like, and I had to listen. It's crazy. And I had to bring this up to him. Like, I'm one of them individuals. I always, like, every show I do, I keep my flyers. And, Brandon B. House was the first individual that put me on a show with a major comedian. So I definitely have a lot of respect for this brother to even have the heart to even put me on this show. And I always thank them. And this is, I don't know if you remember this flyer. If y'all look at that flyer real good, you see Little Rail. Little Rail done blowed up now, but this is Brandon B. House, homeboy.
Put it up right there.
I'll put it up there too. You know what I'm saying? We are one production.
Yes,
and Brandon B. House put this show on back in 2014. He hollered at my manager. My manager's like, yo, this guy, Brandon B. House, he have a show that he's putting together. He's gonna have Little Rail from out of Chicago come do the show. He wants you to be on the show, blah blah blah. So I end up doing a show. I did my thing, and it was good. I had the opportunity to talk to Little Rail. And one thing I can say about Little Rail, he's a real person. Because he was out there hanging out with people for like a long time. Won't he, man?
He was going to
like restaurants. Like, Little Rail is a real dude. Like, he's real. So,
yeah, I know.
Big shout out to his brother for putting me on the show back in 2014.
Thank you. You know what? And I'm going to tell you one of the main reasons why I put you on that show.
To pray the women out.
Not only that, but a lot of people
know about. You know, no pray the women.
Man. That's why you ain't been on another show, nigga. It's too much competition, nigga. It can't be too many boys on the show with their own. between my first show and my second, no, between my first show and my third show.
What was your, was this, was the Little Rail show was your first show?
No.
No, the first show that I did for you was at Seas, right?
Right, with Seas.
Okay, that's the Seas, yeah.
That's the show where you came up to me backstage and you was like, nigga, I don't think you need nothing else. I think you came up to me backstage and you was like, nigga,
I don't think you need nothing else to drink. No, I don't have a lighter, nigga. I think you stole my lighter. No, nigga. It's done.
It was crazy.
Nigga, you could blow up, nigga, but nigga, no. No, stop drinking.
It was crazy.
I'll never forget that.
And B-House was mad at me for a long time. I was like, listen. You wasn't
ever
bad,
no,
I didn't know.
Nigga, I respected you so much for that because that's why I put you on this show, nigga. That's why I put this nigga on this show. Because I respected this nigga. I was like, okay, you know what? They got Lil Rel coming in. I'm going to put this nigga told me to stop drinking. So I'm going to put him on some shit. That's why I had you on the main stage.
Yeah, I was on the main stage.
That's why. Man, look how many people I had on the show, nigga. Yeah. You know how many people wanted to be on
the show? It was a lot. That show was dope because he had the whole venue, but in the venue, at the time, it was called Stand Up Scottsdale. The owner was Howard Hughes, right?
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes owned the venue, and he had two sides. He had the main stage, and then he had the open mic stage, which you can go at. And Brandon had the whole venue, and he had two sides where you could go to. Like, each side that you went to, the shows were hot, and it was loaded with comedians that was on point. So the show was just unbelievable. It was a nice show. But I was on the main stage, and I was one of the dudes that, you know, opened up for Little Rel. And I did my thing. That's all I can say. When I got up there, I did my thing that night. And I think after that, I was well-respected. And, who you got there?
Vodka. Why are you even asking?
I'm doing a disclaimer right now, just in case. He jumped
I'm feeling at home.
Just in case he leave here and run over a couple of pedestrians and that east side, they doing a waiver right now. I had nothing to do with that. He brought that bottle here on his own. But that's Brandon B House, man. That's Brandon. He has to have it.
I have to have it, nigga. I absolutely have to have it.
You gotta have it absolutely.
I absolutely have to have it.
All right. Let's get into more about this shit.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, all right,
too.
Out of this Tropicana.
Tell people a little bit more about yourself, babe.
Man,
I know you come from a educated family, right?
I'm the black sheep of the family. My great grandfather was the president of Morris Brown University in Atlanta.
Wow.
My great uncle is the only man in history to win the Pulitzer Prize twice for the same book. Seriously, he wrote the biography of W.E.B. Du Bois.
Did he?
David Levering Lewis is my great uncle. And and this just ain't a nigga drinking and doing type of shit. That nigga don't know what he's talking about. No, but seriously.
Yeah. But did you know W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington used to book a lot? They used to beef a lot? It's like the Biggie and Tupac beef, you know, they used to beef a lot because they had different views on education. Did you know that?
I could believe it because look at Martin Luther everybody's vision of Wakanda is the same.
He's stupid to have to do anything. I can't see you saying this, right?
No, I know I'm serious. I'm gonna be
like this, dude. Look.
I'm serious.
What did I have to do?
Yeah, look at Eric Killmonger. Chico and the man.
No, fuck you. Dead. Was that a spinoff of San Francisco? Go ahead.
Okay.
Go away, baby.
Chico and the man, nigga, you don't remember Chico and the man?
I remember Chico and the man.
Man, what was his name? Freddie Prince. He was supposed to be the next big thing. Man, shut up. He's dead now. Okay. I'm sorry. I just okay, but no.
Who did you say your favorite character was? Esther.
I don't know. I'm all. Ooh, my favorite character.
Man, she used to remain quote that Bible.
Yeah, she used to quote that Bible. But mine was always Fred Sanford.
Yeah.
No,
I love Fred too.
And this is the thing about Red Fox during the time. What was his name? What was the guy, Archie Bunker? What's his real name? Well, he had a name.
Carol
something Bunker? Was that his name?
No, that was from the TV show. But his real name was Carol O'Connor.
Yeah, he had the at the time he had the number one sitcom in America, and I think he was getting like 19, if I'm not mistaken, he was getting like $19,000 an episode. And Sanford and Son was like a, you know what I'm saying, another, like one of the biggest sitcoms at the time as well. And when it was time for him to negotiate his contract, he told him that he wanted more money than the guy from Archie Bunker. He said he wanted more money than him, and he ended up getting more money than the guy from Archie Bunker. So
that was a different time too.
Yeah, but he commanded that, and they said he got all his money. That's why he went bankrupt.
Nigga, them taxes. I got to file my taxes, nigga. That's why Red Fox died. Nigga, them taxes. Nigga, them taxes hit the nigga. It's like, I got to sell this whole junkyard.
To get that money back?
Yeah. I got to sell the whole junkyard.
He was in a lot of debt because he was taking a lot of that money under the table.
Yeah.
That's a little Sanford and Son history. I know that. Yeah. Y'all probably lost on that.
We're going
to a little bit of sports. Jason Witten is going back to the NFL for his 16th season. He's going back to the Dallas Cowboys. He was an analyst on Monday Night Football, but he's going back to the Dallas Cowboys. Big shout out to him. He can definitely help out Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. They'll have like a safety blanket that'll be in the middle of the field. They kind of stretch the defense as far as the DBs are concerned, so they can like get more touchdowns. So big shout out for him coming back to the league. Big shout out to Bryce Harper. He just signed a 13-year, $325 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. Big shout out to that, bro. Cause like last week, Manny Machado, he signed like a $300+ million deal last week, and that was
how much?
I think it was like $330 million, and that was considered one of the biggest. That was considered at that time. That was considered one of the biggest contracts. No, I think it was $300 million, if I'm not mistaken.
This was baseball.
Baseball, and that was considered at the time one of the biggest contracts in Major League Baseball history. And then Bryce Harper, he just signed a $13 million, $325 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. So now that is one of the biggest contracts in Major League Baseball.
I can sign a contract right now. I can catch two balls at one time for $13,000. For $13,000, I can catch two balls right now. I can get two balls right now for $13,000, nigga.
They ain't gonna sign you, dude. They ain't gonna sign you.
I don't even need a mitt.
They ain't gonna sign you, homie. Huh? They ain't gonna sign you.
Huh? Man, look. I can save y'all a ton of money. Look, let me sign with dude down in Florida.
Who? The Mariners?
The dude that just got caught with the prostitutes.
Oh, man.
The baseball team.
Robert Kraft?
No, that's football. My bad. Oh, well, I can catch them, too. I can catch two football. I can catch
they're gonna give it to you. Big shout out. Big shout out to Bryce Harper. Also, we have some more news. Pac-Man Jones got locked up on Wednesday night in Indiana. They allegedly said he was cheating in the casino, so they locked him up. Yeah, we always know, we are from history, we are all always know that the bad always follow Pac-Man Jones. Big shout out to Pac-Man Jones. For the last 6 years, he hasn't been in any trouble. Now, you know, he ran into this mess up in Indiana in a casino. Then a couple of months ago, he ran into the incident in Atlanta airport. He ended up knocking a dude down. So big shout out to him. Hope he stay out of trouble, and hopefully we'll see him soon on another team this upcoming year in the NFL. But being that, you know, I want to get back to B-House, being that you from Chicago, and you have a lot of stuff going on up there in Chicago with your brothers, right? You have Jesse up there, and you have R. Kelly. So
Jesse Selman from Empire. Yeah. We used to call him Juicy.
What used to call him Juicy for?
In prison. It wasn't Juicy. It wasn't Juicy. It was Juicy. Juicy and Stella's Selman. What was his name? His last name Selman? Jesse Selman? We used to call him Juicy Swallow It. I just bonded out of Cook County, nigga. I'm happy to be here.
Did you bond out for Cook County for real?
Man, I can't tell you.
You got warrants?
Did you see me pull up in the Uber? Did you see me pull up in the Lyft?
Oh, that's why you didn't drive. They got that paperwork on you, baby.
We put the rest of the drive. Everybody in this bitch. If I go to jail, everybody go to jail. Nigga, yeah, did you see me pull up to your gate? And I said, man, punch in the car. I don't need my fingerprints on that. Man, Chicago police, they locking up everybody.
Why is it so, you're from Chi-Town, but why is it so, why is it so bad? I know it's violence everywhere, but why is it at that level in Chicago? And I'm just saying this respectfully, and you know, my hearts go out to like all the families out there that lost an individual with gun violence and every violence that come with the streets out there in Chicago. But being that you're from Chicago, like, and I want to talk about it on a serious matter, like, what's your take on it, and why is all this violence happening at this rate?
I can speak on it on so many different levels.
Okay, let's go.
Because I was incarcerated for a period of time. I was in jail for five. A lot of people don't know this, nigga. I was in prison for 5 years. A lot of people, man, if we gonna keep it real, on the Lawyer Johnson.
Shave your ball, comedy
for Shave your ball.
Okay, you was locked up for 5 years.
I was locked up for five motherfucking
Did
years.
Did you have to choose sides when it came to, like, the vice lords and...
That's what made me so unique. Because, nigga, when I first got locked up, real talk, my father is originally from 16th and Lawndale in Chicago.
And what hood is that?
That's the west side. That's the holy city. That's vice lord, holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in jail, motherfucker was, the rule on the deck was, if you ain't been on the deck more than 2 weeks, you can't say shit about the TV. So one Saturday morning, nigga, we playing Soul Train. Motherfuckers coming down Soul Train line. This Mexican come over and turn this shit to El Caliente. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck? motherfucking story.
Okay, alright. Because I don't never know what this guy is joking or telling the truth. He's saying the truth.
True motherfucking story. That's going to be the name of my comedy album. Because people be thinking I'd be joking. I'd be dead serious. I slapped the shit out of motherfucking nigga. Division 2, Gladiator School.
What is that?
This, huh? In Cook County. Slapped the shit out of them. All them motherfucking Lion Kings was like, take him in the bathroom. I'm like, nigga, y'all ain't taking me nowhere. We finna wage war underneath the shade like 300.
Where we go from here? What's that? Where we go from here?
Nigga, Cobra.
Listen, I'm lost.
Strike first.
I'm lost for words.
Strike hard.
I'm lost for words too, people. I don't know. Sorry, yeah, this dude is a
nasty. And you don't even drink.
This dude, I knew this was gonna happen without. It's gonna be a crazy show. I apologize. Yeah. Well, let's get back to why you think that the violence has happened out there in Chicago, man.
Man, you got too many people on top of each other. Jobs are hard to find.
In Chicago?
You got so many people. I mean, it's, you know, and it's a number of different things. It's a systematic system of corruption, systematic
politics.
Look at the whole
the Kwame situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jesse Jackson Jr. and all of that.
Well, shit, you're going way back.
And I'm just saying, but the fact is, we're going to get to it. That's like one of the biggest things, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say one of the biggest things, but yeah, it's one of the things underneath the scenes. Underneath the...
So the politicians are corrupt and... Well, that's everywhere, but they take a lot from them.
Well, it's a whole new generation coming up right now. Politicians coming up, so hopefully things are about to change real soon. So, it's just Chicago is what it is. You know, look how long it took for New York to turn around. New York used to be the crime central of America, how it turned around now.
That was because of Rudolph Giuliani I'm talking from experience. I know when I was living in Brooklyn, and we talking about like the 80s, early 90s, like being in New York was like the wild, wild west, man. And people were attesting this that was in Brooklyn and New York back in those days. You would literally see, what are you doing, dude?
No, I'm good. I'm my mind.
I don't know what's wrong with that dude.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My mind was going that dumb. I was gonna fix something real fast, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I was being disrespectful.
He's all right, yeah. Don't worry about Brandon B.F. But I know it was like when I was in Brooklyn, there was some crack houses on like every corner, like and people people still get killed in Brooklyn, but back then it was like. Over that money, like cats will act, actually get at you broad daylight. It was just rules and regulations, and that's how it was back then. And then when Rudy Giuliani, he became the mayor, he established a rule that he wants everybody in New York, you better have your IDs on you so they can check your information, because they didn't know if they probably have a killer running around, and he didn't have no ID. So he established that. He established, like, he just did a lot. Like, I mean, he practically shut everything down, like abandoned houses where people were just living in, that was gone. Cause it was in Brooklyn. I remember when people were just living in, like, what they call them, mini storage units and stuff like that. Yeah. They build houses out of storage units. They have them on somebody's land, and they be living in it, and they be running illegal electricity. When he came around, all that stuff went away. The Brooklyn that you see today is totally different from the Brooklyn you seen in the late 80s and early 90s. Like, yeah, everything changed.
Yeah, and see, that's why it had to change, though, is because it became a punchline. In all the movies, like, oh, nigga, if you live in New York, you may get killed, raped.
Yeah.
You know, anything. Look at Escape from New York with Snake Plissken with the motherfucking bitch.
Yeah, but it's, I mean,
you know, he was escaped from New York. He was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I only got one eye. Yeah. But I gotta get the
But it took a lot to change New York. It ain't like the rules changed. The cats are still, like, I still have friends, and a majority of my family is Brooklyn. Individuals still get smoked if they step out of line in Brooklyn. It ain't changed that much, but it's just, you have to have your ID on. You can't double park. Like, it's just so many things that change. And Cory Booker, he's a senator of New Jersey, but at one time he was the mayor of Newark. And he applied the same tactic that Rudy Giuliani applied in New York, and if I'm not mistaken, he got one of the former commissioners from New York to come over there and help him kind of like balance out the crime rate and stuff in Newark. And he applied the same tactics, but like with Chicago, I really don't. I wish I did know why the violence is at such a high rate, and it's just a lot of young guys out there getting killed, and it's just I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of different factors.
You saying this with jobs and
jobs. It's really deep in terms of the segregation, the corruption behind the scenes.
And I noticed how they restructured the school zones and everything. Like, they actually put in, like, if I'm not mistaken, 6th all the way into the 12th grade. They kind of packing everybody in one school.
My oldest daughter teaches, I'm not going to say what school she teaches at. She'd be like, nigga, really? But my oldest daughter teaches 6th grade.
What's she teach, literature arts?
No, she teaches like general, you know, the whole general studies. Yeah. On the west side of Chicago. And I'm talking about this one of the roughest areas in Chicago.
Does she have enough resources to teach her class? When I say resources, books, like paper, pens and stuff, do they give them a big enough budget where they have enough supplies to give to the kids? No?
I'm trying to get her to get her carry and conceal license.
Does that run over there?
Fuck some books. Resources. We need to get your carry and conceal license. So the motherfucker say something, you put two hot shit in his ass and keep it moving. No. No.
Does she have a brain
system to you? No. She called me and said she needed some money. It was the start of the school year, and she needed to buy pencils, you know, erasers or whatever the case may be, and I sent up what I could. The resources in Chicago are not that great. When I went back a couple of months ago, I went to a school teacher union meeting.
Okay.
And they were talking about their budgets. And it was about 600 teachers there. Because everybody's concerned about...
the education.
Yeah. Because that's the next generation. You know, and it may not... you know, but there's a lot of teachers out there, man, putting in their own money
to keep things afloat for the kids.
Man, to make sure they got chalk. Okay, we gonna take the same chalk. We gonna outline your ass out on the sidewalk.
So how's the beat go, baby?
We gonna save you. We gonna save you. Instead of using that same chalk to outline you on the sidewalk, we gonna use that to put some shit. What's 2 + 2, motherfucker?
Peanut butter.
Nigga!
Silly dude.
Slap shit out
well,
of
how me. Did, how did the meeting go, though?
No, but, you know, they're working on their budgets and. They just. I haven't been. Really involved in it since I've been gone, but I went back just to support my daughter, and that's what she was into, and that's what they were dealing with at that time. Just budget matters, money.
Did she ever think about doing something else other than being a teacher? Did she has she ever?
She wants to do poetry. She wants to do poetry. Yeah, I'm trying to get her to come out here and fuck with Ken.
Yeah, but you know, poetry don't pay no money, dude.
Well,
you just don't.
Your passion never pays.
Your passion never, but you just want her out of Chicago. I mean, as a father, you thinking as a father, you just want her out of Chicago.
Yeah. You know, but I'm happy that the crazy thing about it is she teaches at the same school my mother grew up at.
Okay.
Went to. So it's not like, you know, she teaches in the hood. Back when my mother was going there, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It was the hood, but it wasn't. You know, this was back in the '60s. You know what I'm saying? This was back in the.
Well, we just had that black love and respect for each other. Now yeah. it's just no lack of respect.
But my daughter is still there. You know what I'm saying?
She just loves teaching. It's kind of hard. I think it's kind.
Yeah, it's one thing to love teaching, but then it's one thing to be in the hood where if you walk out that door, you may get shot or stabbed or anything. It's a different, you know. So don't get me wrong. I totally respect her passion for it because it's a history behind it. Because my mother went to the same school that my daughter teaches at now. So there's a, you know, there's a special love for it. So.
I know that's kind of like, I'm grateful for all the teachers that, I'm grateful for all the teachers that took time out for me. It's so many teachers that I just owe a lot of respect, to, like Miss Price, Miss Davis, Miss Pola. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole bunch of teachers that I owe a lot of love and respect to that took time out with me when I was younger, dealing with my anger management issues. So
yeah. You say anger? What type?
I had a lot of anger management. Yeah, man. Hey, get back into the camera. This is dude, man.
I'm sorry. I just went because this is about to die out. No, no, go ahead. No, we kicking it. No, we kicking it. Go ahead. Yeah, don't mind,
I'm sorry, audience, man. This is Brad. This is how this guy is.
This is how
you see, he's a busy body. This is how he operates.
Yeah.
He's charging up his iPad.
I told you I had one camera that like looked like he got 9 cameras, didn't I? Nigga, I got to stay on top.
I'm trying to keep it charged up.
Yeah.
You can plug it in just on.
Thank you.
Brandon B. House edition of the Lawyer Johnson Comedy Sports Radio.
Yeah.
You get it in, dude?
Yeah.
It should be charged.
Yeah.
Not allowed. Yeah. I'm sorry for y'all. You need to apologize for the audience for continuing to get up. And
I'm sorry. How's everybody doing?
We back up again.
We are back at the Lawyer Johnson Sports Comedy Radio Podcast.
Drink responsible. Look at this dude right here.
Yeah. This is all me. He ain't had a lick of this.
And I ain't gonna drink none either.
Yeah. What? Wait, first of all, I'm loving your place.
You love my place? What you like about my spot, man?
Man, nigga, I'm loving. Look at that upstairs, looking overneath the South Mountain.
Dude. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to get out of this shit right here, but whatever we get out of it, we're going to do the best we can. On this, we're going to do the best we can with this shit.
We're
going
to do a whole lot of editing. No, that's what's up. No. Dope, I'm having a good time.
What do you think about R. Kelly, dude?
Yeah. R. Kelly.
He just got bailed up like last week, didn't he?
Nigga, look, I was gonna do a skit, and I was gonna be, it was gonna be me on top of the projects, you know, the end of I Wish, you know, when he was talking to his mama,
mm-hmm.
He was talking to his mama, so I'm gonna be on top of him, and I'm gonna be. And I'm gonna be on top of the Kung Fu projects, the mama. I don't know why they ain't coming at me like this. I know I ain't fucked that little young girl. You know, just. Yeah. So, that's the. Like Dave Chappelle, you know, and then I'm pissing off the side of the building. I
don't know. Make sure you sit down in your seatbelt so you don't fall down and try to sue me. We gonna get through this show, people. He just, that's just Brandon B. House. You don't know B. House, that's it. Is there anything else you wanna say to the audience?
You can find me on Tinder.
Yo, Tinder?
Tinder.
Blackpeoplemeet.com?
Man, nigga, fuck that nigga. You can find me on Black Planet. Black Planet coming back. You ain't know that?
I don't want to be no man, Black Dad.
Nigga, Black Planet is coming back. Solange just bought it.
Did she?
Yeah. Beyonce's sister, I sent her a dick pic.
And what happened?
Huh? And I said, hashtag Solange. S-C-H-L-O-N-G-E.
Like, what happened?
Dick. Nigga, I got banned. I got blocked. On Black Planet.
On BlackPlanet.com.
Solange.
I think of the Solange she bought. She bought Black.
I know you saw that dick pic.
I don't know, dude. We're going to get through this show. Vicky, I have another announcement, man. I want to give a big shout out to, Tony Harris. She became the first female football player to sign a letter of intent for a football scholarship on Tuesday when she committed to Central Methodist University in Missouri for a skill position. She played free safety, so big out to Tony. She's 21 years old. So she's definitely making her mark as far as women are concerned. And playing a collegiate sport, football, and it's a skilled position, and she's gonna be starting at safety. So big shout out to her. How do you feel about females playing football?
I have no problems with it. What, professional football?
Yeah, if they were playing, if a woman making it into take on that?
Can she handle a tackle? Can she handle, you know, can she handle fumbling these balls?
Stupid dude. A safety. I'm a big advocate of there's no deadlines on Dream. I honestly think whatever you put your heart into, and if you you passionate about it, you can be anything you want to be in life. Yeah. So I'm really gonna pull for Tony and hope that she this upcoming year that she do an incredible job and she can shut down the naysayers. I know there's a lot of naysayers out there that feel like she can't play collegiate, you know, sport at a high level, and she signed a letter of intent to a university. She's definitely on the way to get those looks of going into the draft, even going to the combine. I think that'll be a big step. I'd love to see her go to the combine. She played 2 years for junior college out there, and community college out there in LA, and then she got this letter of intent. Signed a letter of intent for Central Methodist University in Missouri. She signed a letter of intent for them, so I'm definitely pulling for her.
Let me clarify my past statement.
You gotta be serious, though.
This is a sister that's really trying to make her mark.
So we have to be respectful of her, and we have to get behind as brothers and as fathers. We have to get behind her, and we have to give her that energy and pray for and hope that she succeed and be successful.
That's why I'm about to clarify my statement.
No, clarify. You have to clarify because you have a daughter too. Because you put.
That's why I was about to say.
And you put following. You put in a comedic way. You put following balls.
And see, that's why I want to keep it 100.
Okay.
The comedy side of me, you know, says one thing, but I have a daughter that was the captain of her basketball team at a school in Chicago. I'm not gonna say the name because I don't want.
You don't want
to. Yeah, but no, I totally respect that. I may crack my jokes with her. But deep down, I really do respect, especially the female athletes and what they need to do to achieve at that level and still be.
I'm pretty sure people was riding Randolph, her. It's a lot of people, but I think this is. Like, this is a hell of a thing for a female to sign a letter of intent to a major university at a skilled position. It's like it's a skilled position. Like, you playing wide receiver or DB. Like, she's actually playing safety.
Yeah.
And I know from experience and by being, you know what I'm saying, ingrained in sports that.
No, the talent that she has to put forth to achieve at that level is on a whole nother level that people won't even understand.
Yeah.
What she has to go through as a female to achieve at that level.
And competing against guys.
And competing against guys and be respected.
That's the, you know what I'm saying? That is incredible.
Man, look, I would hate to run into her in a dark alley. That's all I'm
saying. She's the real deal. Like, if you actually go online, you can see some of her clips.
Yeah, I know.
Playing a safety position is serious. First of all, you have to be instinctive. That's the main thing. You have to be real instinctive, and you have to have your reads. Like, when you back there, you have to have a read. It's like if somebody gonna pass the ball. Or are they going to run it? You had to look for the diverted play that try to fool you and get you to go somewhere else. So that's a skilled position. And for her to actually, I mean, she's 21 years old and actually get a letter of intent to a college is unheard of. So big shout out to Tony Harris. Big shout out to our family. I'm definitely acknowledging and appreciate her, and she's a trailblazer. And whenever y'all get a chance, go online and look at her footage and see what she do. She play safety, and she just signed to Central Methodist University in Missouri. So big shout out to Tony Harris. Big shout out to her.
Yeah, definitely.
So is there anything you want to say before we conclude the show, bro? Do you have any reason?
It ain't midnight yet. I'm like a gremlin.
You want to go play tonight?
I'm fucking with you.
You going to go play tonight? You going to tie some women up? What you going to do?
Man, I do all of that.
Let's not get into that, dude. You know you have some wild stories.
I get into all of that. That's my M.O.
So, Little Rail coming in town next month. Know that you're home. Is there any way we can get him on the show to get an interview?
Number one, that ain't my home.
You gotta do your show. He's somebody now. He was staying with me when he was out here. Boy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wish I had like that.
Well, you can get that.
No, that was just I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Shout out to Howard Hughes, stand up Scottsdale. Is dead now, but
the venue is dead. Howard Hughes. The venue is dead.
The venue is dead. But I just happened to be at the right place at the right time to be able to do a show with Lil Rail. So, but no, we're not cool. Man, nigga, he just did Get Out.
Yeah, I know.
Nigga, when I hit him up to do a show, nigga, he said, Get Out.
You ain't seen him Get Out. How much y'all paying to come out here? He's big. Little Rail, super big now. Yeah, man. He would never come out for the amount of money y'all paid him back then. How much did y'all pay Little Rail then?
I don't know.
You do know, B.I. How much y'all pay?
I don't know nothing. I'm like Corn. No, I'm not like Corn. Go Corn to Little
Rail. How much y'all pay him, though?
I don't know.
Coca-Cola told everything. That nigga told.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to jail.
He told everything. He told about all secret meetings and everything.
Yeah.
They ain't gonna do nothing to Trump anyway. They ain't gonna do nothing to that dude, man. This is. I'm starting to think all this is a fluke, man. That's Robert Mueller, man. I think this is a hoax, dude. Like, cause you've been investigating that dude for like 3 years, man. If you're going to drag him, go ahead and get him out of the way.
You know what? A lot of people don't know this, but one of my biggest, one of the things I was really interested in outside of film and comedy and shit.
Was politics. Was
history.
Okay.
This is history right now. What's going on right now was the same shit that was going on.
Are you being serious? Because you always got a punchline behind it.
No, I'm being damn serious, but at the same time, you know, just like D.L. Hughley, you know, he be talking about shit, real shit.
Good.
And then he making it into a punchline.
No, go ahead.
But everything that's going on right now.
She lost the train of thought.
If this was Obama, nigga, this shit wouldn't be going on.
Yeah, but you said it's history. Like, I can't see them impeaching Donald Trump. I just don't.
I can see
the only one. Like, people get get tired is why we locking up everybody around here. Like, we locking up all these people. And we scaring
but
people.
But if you really watching it, we just now got power in 2019. It's just March the 2nd. You got corn.
But just be honest. Do you think Robert Mueller, do you think he has some information on that? I'm just being honest. Like, well, the Russian, with the whole Russian conclusion, or I hate to mispronounce anything, but do you think is there any evidence that they tamper with the voting system?
I kid you not, Lord. I devote at least 4 to 5 hours every day watching nothing but MSNBC News, Fox.
Well, you know, Fox is kind
of
bold.
No, but I want to get that. I want to get both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? And I watch it. And in my point of view, it's nothing but hypocrisy that's going on. If this had been Obama, he'd have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah, but this is my question. Do you think Robert Mueller, do you think he had information on Donald Trump where they can impeach him? Because, I mean, I'm looking at, we like, it's 3 years in, dude. Like,
look how tall.
It's kind of like it's starting to turn into a loop, dude.
No.
Or you think he's trying to have.
I don't think of it like that, because
he's
when
trying
you
to dot all his eyes across his teacher, trying to make sure the case is solid before he put everything out there on him.
Yep. Because when you building the case, motherfucker, you want to make sure you. You can't get out of it. Look, everybody that he's indicted, what have they done? They done pleaded guilty. And look at Manafort. And he still lied. He said that he was going to cooperate. And he lied. And Mueller came back and got his ass. Guess what? That nigga finna die in jail. All these other little people.
All because of the Russia collusion case.
Yeah, but guess what? This shit building. The Republicans had the House and the Senate.
So do you think the new Attorney General is going to fire Robert Mueller? Do you think that's going to happen? Because that's what Trump is pushing for. Do you think the American people will stand for it?
That's why they're saying that Mueller's about to release his report all of a sudden.
Because you know they're trying to fire him.
That's why all these reports, he about to release his report, is because this new attorney general is in him.
So Donald Trump...
All the walls are closing in.
So you think Donald Trump hired that dude exclusively to fire...
Look what he did with Whitaker, the acting attorney general. I'm telling you, I watch this. I can name names.
I already know they're building up the case, but you think they have a solid? They don't have a solid case, but they near a solid case where they can pigeon-toe him.
Look, if they impeached Clinton for a blowjob, what the fuck you think they finna do to Trump?
Yeah, but the impeachment really ain't do nothing to Clinton.
Yeah, but that was on a whole nother level.
See them doing anything to that dude. I just honestly can't, like, it's always a loophole when a dude, I can't.
You know what?
But I can't see you. I can't see you being the president of the United States and not having enough people around you that know other people that can be right beside the, that can be around you.
Look at Nixon. Look at Nixon. What happened to Nixon? Yeah. That nigga was on the like, I'm not a crook. Nigga, you
But I mean, that,
but he was out of here.
Oh, but
legally,
they had him tied up with the, I know what you're talking about with the Watergate scandal. They had him, like, he couldn't get out of that.
Right, and that's what they building again. And look how long that took. That's my point in what I'm saying. Look how long it took them to prove
that he had something to do with
Nixon. That Nixon had something to do with the whole Watergate break-in before he actually left office. And he left office voluntarily. He left office voluntarily. He wasn't forced off. He was like, okay, I'm going to take this deal.
But he just didn't want to go. He didn't want to face the embarrassment. That's a different struggle. But
that's what I'm saying. But Trump is ego, a whole nother.
Yeah, his ego was so big, dude. I can't
and
see
And that's it why part. It's taking longer. Anybody else? Nigga, if they had did this to Obama, you know how long they would have forced him out of office? But Trump was behind the whole birthers thing, the whole birth certificate, the whole party. He was behind all, so his roots go down in the whole white nationalism and so on and so forth. But that's why it's taking so long for them to do what they need to do, because they finna cross, they finna get him.
So you think he had investments in Russia? You think he already worked out a deal with Putin to have his real estate investment company come over there and do lands in exchange for something? That would be treason, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be treason. It really should be treason. He should be the new Benedict Arnold. He really should.
So you think that he did all this for the self? Well, I don't know. It's for the self interest of himself and his family.
Of course.
Give and take.
If anybody know anything, I know my history. I may talk a lot of shit and be drunk and high most of the time, but if anybody know their history, if you look back at World War I and World War II, Adolf Hitler did the same thing that Trump is doing right now. He started undermining the media, the news. You know, he started getting people to sympathize, like, all the Jews are this Jew. Same thing that Trump is doing now with people of color, black, Mexican, whatever the case may be. And you see how many people still support him right now, so that lets you know how dangerous. People thought when Obama was in the office,
but we don't know. But we don't know if it's any truth to that. Numbers can be fudged. Like when he said,
I agree with that too.
Numbers can be fudged, just like he said. Everybody's so stuck on that. Like he created so many jobs for African American. Who was not to say that all of that was a buildup from what Obama did when he was in office? So, I mean, that could be an optical illusion, and numbers can be fudged. We know they fudge numbers all the time, but people are so they just so ready to jump on a bandwagon and use that as a soundbite to be like, oh, he's doing so much for African Americans, and I don't see it. I don't see it.
No, it's just a game.
Yes, yeah, it's a game, you know.
It's a
when you grew up, in a housing project, eating welfare cheese and being on public assistance, you can see through all that, the smoke and mirrors, man. All that is a bunch of, you know what I'm saying, let's be honest, a bunch of bullshit. You can fool them new people with that. But I grew up in the Reagan era, and I know how hard it was back then. And they used to call it energy checks to help you out with your light bill, and, you know, like, I know. So you can't pull the wool over my eyes. So,
I remember Melly Mel and the Furious Five. It's the message.
We get off live, man. This is what you talk about, man.
Don't push me. I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Well, I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in for another Lawyer Johnson Comedy Sports Radio Show. I'd like to thank my guests for the night, Brandon B. House. We had a lot of fun. And I did, it's my fault, I did tell him to come as himself. Well, I'll never do that again. Next time he come up here, he gonna be sober. You see, I'm not sponsoring Absolute Vodka. Kids, please do not drink this. Drink responsible. I don't have anything to do with it. If you run over 12 pedestrians, he already on camera made his disclaimer. I don't have anything to do with it.
I paid somebody to beat me up as soon as I looked out of here.
y'all want to catch up with Brandon B. House, y'all can catch me on Brandon B. House on Facebook. Facebook.
Yep.
You can catch me on Instagram on Shave Your Balls 2019. You can catch me on Lawyer Johnson 2006 on Instagram. You can also catch me at Motivational Wings on Instagram. You can catch me on Facebook as Lawyer Johnson. Lawyer Johnson 13 on Facebook. You can also find me on Shave Your Balls Comedy Sports Radio Show Facebook page. And if y'all want to send emails and kind of give us some advice on what we can do to make the platform better for the Lawyer Johnson Comedy Sports Radio Show, y'all can email me at shaveyourballs@z. You know what I'm saying? Shaveyourballs 2019@gmail.com.
These nuts.
To the next time y'all see us again, man, shave your balls.
Our lineman, oh my God. If my lineman wasn't so good, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And me being as broke as I am, I'm about to find a way to treat my lineman to sift.
Marshawn Lynch, Oakland Tech, star tailback.
They must stay focused on, succeeding in their goals, and if that's playing football, that's what it is. But mainly, they got to stay in school and listen to their parents, because that's the key to everything, your parents. Because my mama got me this far, you know I'm thankful for her.
Find your attitude.
Born and raised in Oakland, this running back started Oakland Tech High School and Cal Berkeley before being selected in the first round of the 2007